What I'm about to say may come as a great surprise to you, but I'm just going to lay it out there. I'm a very clumsy person. It's true. And this is especially true in the middle of the night. My dear wife will verify this truth. It's usually about 3 a.m. or so, and I need to make a trip down the hall. Of course, I don't want to turn the light on and wake up the cats. No, they're already awake, actually. I don't want to wake up my wife or kids, so I leave the lights off, and I navigate the hallway, which I try to remember the way the hallway was when I went to bed, but the memory's not so good either. So invariably, something, mysteriously, somehow, will be in my path. And there my unprotected toes make contact. Then I'm challenged with not saying something that I would have to repent for and that also would awaken my family. I don't know how many times it is. Bang! And Dina's awake and wondering why I can't seem to be quiet in the middle of the night. What would solve all of that problem? Turning the light on, right? Light, it's such an amazing thing. In fact, Scripture has much to say about it. Genesis 1, verse 3, we know God said, "Let there be light." And I say, that was a good idea. In John 8, verse 12, Jesus says something very unique, and he personalizes light. And he says in John chapter 8 and verse 12, it says, "When Jesus spoke again to the people, he said, 'I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life.'" Well, that's quite the statement, isn't it? God creates light and then declares that not only is he the creator of light, but also he is the light of the world. And folks, that is the great message of the gospel, that people who are stumbling around in darkness, and their darkness is far worse than me tripping down the hallway on the way to the bathroom at 3 a.m. Their darkness is bondage and addictions to sin, to drugs, to all kinds of behaviors, to a lifestyle that tries to please itself as opposed to pleasing him, that is without hope and without purpose. Those people who are stumbling around in darkness, they don't have to anymore. They can turn the light on, and that light cannot just be a light that they see, but rather a light, Scripture would let us know, that in fact dwells within us. That is a powerful truth. That is the gospel. People don't need to stumble around in darkness any longer. They can have the light of Christ. They can see. But do you know that the sad reality is that most people say, "Yeah, heard about your light thing, but really not interested in that. I'd rather stumble around and kick my toes and beat myself bloody in the dark." Doesn't make any sense, does it? John chapter 3, verses 19 through 21. This is the verdict. Light has come into the world, but men loved darkness instead of light because their deeds were evil. Everyone who does evil hates the light and will not come into the light for fear that his deeds will be exposed. But whoever lives by the truth comes into the light so that it may be seen plainly that what he has been done through God. I want to talk this morning about this amazing statement that Jesus makes in our text in Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 through 16. He says, "You are the light of the world." Now, it's interesting. John 8, verse 12, he says, "I am the light of the world." But then he turns this around and says, "You are the light of the world." Isn't that amazing? Again, here we go again with this idea. What is the body of Christ? Well, in this context, We have been given that light. And so now Jesus is not physically here to shine, but he says, I'm leaving, but you stay here and shine. We who have placed our faith in Christ, received his forgiveness for sins, we are the light of the world. Now let's look one more time. This will be the last time in this series. We'll look at Matthew 5, 13 and 16. I'm trying to make that promise. Matthew 5, 13 and 16, you are the salt of the earth. But if the salt loses its saltiness, how can it be made salty again? It is no longer good for anything except to be thrown out and trampled by men. You are the light of the world. A city on a hill cannot be hidden. Neither do people light a lamp and put it under a bowl. Instead, they put it on its stand, and it gives light to everyone in the house. In the same way, let your light shine before men that they may see your good deeds and praise your Father in heaven. There's a reason why I'm mentioning salt again in the context of talking about light. We talked quite a bit about salt last week. But these are actually parallel illustrations that Jesus is using. You are the salt, you are the light. And then he qualifies those by saying, however, you as salt are only going to have that preserving effect, that impact on your culture if you make connection and stay salty. And in addition, you are light. However, if you don't shine your light, it is a worthless light. So salt needs to be applied and light needs to shine. And as light, we shine before men and God gets the glory. But it's only valuable as we remain salty and as we shine and don't hide that light that we have. And he even gives an illustration here. He says, people don't hide light under a bowl because that would be silly, right? Why would you have a bright light and you could see in the dark, but you just cover it up? No, I don't want to have to see. He says, people don't do that. They don't hide light under a bowl. They let it shine. You can only be a valuable light if you're visible. Now, for the remainder of our look at this passage this morning, I want to talk about some practical applications of this idea of being a shining light. First of all, we need to understand something about the nature of this light, and it is this: light exposes darkness. And John 3 bore that out pretty clearly, didn't it? It says, men preferred darkness. Why? Because their deeds were evil, and they recognized that you start bringing us light around here, then it's going to expose our evil deeds. We don't like that. We like our evil deeds, but we don't like the light shining on them, letting everybody else see how evil they are. You do realize, folks, that's why sometimes when you act like a Christian and you really let your light shine, you get some resistance. You start shining your light a little bit, and people don't like that light. They like their darkness. Your light is exposing what they're really all about. And some Christians go the other direction, and they say, oh, then I'm sorry, I'll hide the light. You didn't like that. I'll put that away. And Jesus says, no, don't do that. You got to keep shining. Your light shines. Light exposes darkness. It's what it's supposed to do. It's okay. Now, don't shine a light in people. You know how kids do this especially? Okay, and me. And you take the flashlight, you know, and you shine it right in somebody's eyeball just to annoy them. Yeah, I'm not suggesting we be those kinds of Christians that shine our light in ways that are obnoxious. You know, I almost pictured a five-year-old kid with a flashlight in the eyeball, you know. Some Christians, you know, I'm just trying to shine my light, Pastor. Well, you can shine your light without being a jerk, you know. You've heard the expressions, you know, turn or burn, cry or fry, you know, some really judgmental ways of coming at people. That's kind of like shining a light in somebody's eyeball. That just came to me this morning. Isn't that wonderful? Light exposes darkness. And we need to understand that the fact that we are light, we are distinctly different from our culture. And I know that that's hard because we kind of want to be like our culture, because when we're not, we feel like oddballs, right? But Jesus is saying, you're not like your culture. You're quite different. You're light and they're dark. Jesus said to his disciples, they're going to hate you. They hated me and they're going to hate you too. We don't like that. We want to be liked. Jesus says, shine. Don't worry about being liked. Shine. It's interesting. We hear today expressions like, well, you know, we're all children of God. We're all God's children. That to me sounds like an expression that's saying, I don't like to shine the light too brightly, so everybody's God's children. We're all wonderful. Jesus was having a little conversation with some Jews who were trying to kill him. And they were making it quite clear that, you know, we're good Jews here. We're good followers of God, and Abraham is our father. And we're good Jews, and we're good followers of God. And Jesus says to them in John 8, verses 41 through 45, he says, well, you are doing the things your own father does. We are not illegitimate children, they protested. The only father we have is God himself. Ah, there it is. We're all God's children. And Jesus says, if God were your father, you would love me. For I came from God and now am here. I have not come on my own, but he sent me. Why is my language not clear to you? Because you are unable to hear what I say. You belong to your father, the devil. And you want to carry out your father's desire. He was a murderer from the beginning, not holding to the truth, for there is no truth in him. And when he lies, he speaks his native language, for he is a liar and the father of lies. Interesting. Jesus says, if God were your father, so here Jesus gives the qualifier. If you want to say you're God's children, here it is. Then you would love me, but you don't. And so you're not God's children. In fact, I'll tell you who your dad is. Yikes. Clearly, Jesus did not buy into the idea that everyone is God's child. Light exposes darkness. And Christian, you are to be light, and light shines. And when that light shines, it exposes darkness. The darkness isn't going to be particularly thrilled with the light being on. It's tough. I'll give you that. It's difficult because we struggle. We don't like to be challenged or not liked or be different. You know, it's amazing. You see teenagers in school, you know, and yeah, I just want to be different. And there goes 50 of them all dressed alike together because they're so different. They don't want to be different. They want to be like their buddies. They want to be different. They want to be different than mom and dad because obviously they're not cool anymore, but they want to be the same as the group that they're going with. And we're kind of like that too. We like to be liked. We like to be in the group. We like to be in the in crowd, if you will. And sometimes shining your light for Jesus puts that in an awkward situation, doesn't it? Sometimes it's tough to shine for Jesus and have everybody like you. In fact, if you're shining properly, Jesus says, you might offend a few people. Careful how you do it. Don't try to offend. But the darkness isn't going to like the light. You need to understand the reason you are different is because God has made you light, and he wants you to shine. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness. This is such an awesome verse. Feel free to turn there if you want. 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 6. And I apologize, I don't have a page number for you. 2 Corinthians 4, verse 6. Paul writing to the church at Corinth. Very beautiful imagery here. It says, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts, to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory of God in the face of Christ. God says, let light shine out of darkness. We recognize the reference to Genesis, to light coming in. But then he says, in the context of creating us, remember Scripture says we are a new creation in Christ, right? And now he says, for that new creation, which is us, let light shine out of darkness. And he gives us his light, puts it within us, and says, okay, now shine and light up your world. Ephesians 5, 8 through 11. Ephesians chapter 5, starting in verse 8, just a couple pages away from you if you're still in 2 Corinthians. Love this. For you were once darkness. Every single one of us was at one time darkness. But now you are light in the Lord. Live as children of light. For the fruit of the light consists in all goodness, righteousness, and truth. I love verse 10. It's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7 words. And find out what pleases the Lord. I don't know what pleases God. And Paul says, then find out. Figure it out. Make it your pursuit. Find out what pleases the Lord. He's placed his light. You were once darkness. You are now light. Find out what pleases the Lord. Have nothing to do with the fruitless deeds of darkness, but rather expose them. Shine. You were once darkness, now you are light. I don't want to be one of those people. You know, I go to church, I do my preaching thing, and then I go home on Monday through Saturday, take my nice bright light, and throw it under my bed and forget about it. I don't want to do that. I want to shine. I don't want to hide under sinful behaviors so that people won't be offended by my light. Well, I'll just engage in the same sin that they do because I don't want to offend them. No, I don't want to do that. I want to shine for Jesus. He's put his light within me for a reason. I need to shine. I don't want to be a dim bulb. Don't look at me like that. That wasn't nice. Okay, I am a dim bulb, but I don't want to be. I don't want to be afraid to shine. You see, with this idea of being a light comes a responsibility. Jesus says, you're the light of the world, now shine. John Stott, excellent Anglican theologian, says, you must be what you are. That's pretty deep, right? You must be what you are. You are salt, and so you must retain your saltness and not lose your Christian tang. You are light, and so you must let your light shine and not conceal it in any way, whether by sin or by compromise, by laziness or by fear. Jesus says shine. And my second point in making application here is that shining is not optional. Whether we shine or not is not an option. Light is kind of a funny thing. It always shines. Even if it's very dimly, a small amount of light is still light. It's still going to shine. The moment it stops shining, it's not light anymore. Now it's darkness, isn't it? When Jesus says, let your light shine before men, he isn't giving a different option for us to choose. He's issuing a command here, and he's saying, light of the world, I want you to shine. I want you to shine. This whole Sermon on the Mount that we've been studying, how many of you have been counting? This is the 10th sermon in this series. Don't keep counting. It can be scary. Jesus is talking in the Sermon on the Mount. All three chapters, 5, 6, and 7 here, all defining what it means to be part of the kingdom of God. And when we say kingdom, we automatically have to stretch ourselves because we don't live in a kingdom, do we? We live in a democratic republic. We don't really even live in a democracy. We live in a republic, a democratic republic, right? We're used to thinking, well, I've got a vote. I've got my say. I have a right to criticize. I have a right to put my feet down and say, no, I don't want to do it. And that works okay in other political structures. But we're not in another political structure. We're in a kingdom. And a kingdom works quite simply. You have the king, and then you have everybody else. And the king says, this is the way it's going to be, and everybody else, if they're smart, they say, okay, that's what I'll do. We belong to the kingdom of God, and Jesus is the king, and he says, I want you to shine. Yeah, but I would like to vote on that. And he says, there's no votes. I want you to shine. It's not an option. The king calls the shots, and the only rights that you have are the ones that the king, in his graciousness, decides to give you. If you are in Christ, you are owned by Christ. In fact, he bought you at a very expensive price. Cost him his blood, and he shed it freely for you and for me. And he calls the shots, and he says, shine. But I don't want to shine. My neighbors don't like that light. I'll let someone else shine for me. Mike's a good shiner. We'll let him shine. That Greg, he does a great job shining. Seen him shining at the barn on a Saturday. He's a good shiner. Let him shine. I don't want to shine. And Jesus says, no, every single one of you, I want you to shine. But I don't want to offend anyone. He says, you don't worry about that. You just shine. Light is offensive to darkness, but you still need to shine. When you shine the light of Christ on the world, they have to take notice of how much they're not like Christ. Their darkness is exposed. However, if you don't shine your light, they continue in darkness, and not just for this lifetime, but for all of eternity. And the darkness gets worse. We have to love our neighbors enough that we say, I know that the darkness doesn't like the shining, but I need to shine. You need to know the light of Christ that is within me. Yeah, you might be hated. Jesus kind of promised that. He told his disciples, one of the great guarantees that Jesus gave his disciples, you're going to be hated. Well, thanks a lot. Guarantee. Jesus said he was the light of the world. He shone brightly. He was killed for it. And God says, you saw me shining? See what happened to me? You go shine too. The world has always been changed in the greatest ways by believers who were not afraid to shine. You realize that? The greatest examples of history, the greatest changes that have happened throughout all of history have been because men and women were willing to faithfully shine for Jesus Christ. They were martyred, many of them. Still are. Various parts around the world, but they shine brightly. And God is glorified and honored, and his kingdom expands. There's a great story of this found in the history of England. It's told that when the English martyrs Hugh Latimer and Nicholas Ridley were being taken to the stake to be burned, Latimer turned to Ridley and said, "Be of good cheer, Brother Ridley. We have lighted such a candle in England as by the grace of God shall never be put out." I tell you what, I don't know if I have it in me or not, but I want to shine like that. I want to be able to say, take your best shot, I'm going to keep shining. And when you kill me, I'm still going to keep shining from the grave. Don't worry about it. Thirdly, this morning is simply a question. How bright are you? How bright are you shining? I want to give you a little illustration as I think about this question, a very hard question for every one of us, and especially myself. When I was a kid, I discovered something that was very cool. You could buy these stickers. You could put them in your room. I had one around my light switch. And it had this amazing, magical, cool stuff that at night, it glowed. Right? You've seen stuff like that. I'm not a lunatic. Well, I might be, but glow-in-the-dark stuff, stickers. Now they have, you can have the entire universe on your ceiling, you know, the stars and planets and all that and the galaxies and all, which to me, I would do that, but for a couple reasons. One, that's going to take a lot of time. Two, I'm afraid of falling stars while I'm sleeping. Anyway, it's real simple, folks. The illustration I want to make, these glow-in-the-dark things, real simple. They're only effective and they only shine if they spend time in the light. The only way we are going to effectively shine and be the light of the world that Christ called us to be is as we spend time in the light. How much time do we spend in the light? How much time do we spend reading His Word, praying, communicating with our Savior, fellowshipping with other believers? Every single one of you here this morning, I am so glad that you are here. Do you realize I desperately need each and every one of you and the fellowship that we share as the body of Christ? I need that desperately. You know why? Because it helps me to shine. You are the light of the world, and I need to be around that light. We need each other. Meditating daily on the words of our Savior, refusing to engage in the darkness of sin, those are all ways that we can be in the light. Why? So that we can shine brighter. We must spend the time in the light so that we'll shine when we're in the darkness. Simply close with these words from 1 John chapter 1, verses 5 through 7. What an amazing application of what Jesus was talking about in Matthew 5. I appreciate the fact that John, in his infinite wisdom, wrote these words so that I could say them today. 1 John chapter 1, 5 through 7. This is the message we have heard from Him and declare to you. God is light. In Him there is no darkness at all. If we claim to have fellowship with Him, yet walk in the darkness, we lie, do not live by the truth. Listen to verse 7. But if we walk in the light, as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. Amen.